This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning, church. What do you call each other? Beloveds. It is such a privilege to be here today. When I look over the audience, I know many faces that are so beautiful and familiar, loved ones who are friends and family and friends of our children for many years. I would probably just introduce myself a little bit because not everybody knows me and knows us as a family. So I'm Corinne Sonnenberg. I'm married to Herkie Sonnenberg. We've been partnering and been part of Shofar Church since 2000. It's now 18 years that we know each other. And we were living in Stellenbosch. We have four beautiful children and two extras that God gave to us recently. Our eldest daughter is Gillian. She's about 38, 39. Some of you here were friends with her and knew her well. Herkie is our second son. Gillian has and Rian have three beautiful boys. They're living in England. Herkie and Lisa Marie were married 2 years ago, and they're expecting their first little one in July. So we're very excited about that. And then Tessa is our third daughter. Some of you know Tessa. And she has three beautiful children, two beautiful boys and a little Bia Marie that God added to our family from another mother. And then we have David. And many of you know our son David, Bella, en vrienden van jaren en jaren en jaren. And he and Franchette are living in London. And they're also expecting their first little one in October. So I'm a very blessed mommy. Six kids, six grandchildren, and two to come. And then the Lord added to our family two beautiful Zimbabwean orphans who were trafficked into South Africa. And God rescued them and saved them. And they are now 21 and 19 studying at the University of Noordwest. And they are a joy and a pleasure to our lives. They've only brought us joy, no sorrow. So this is the background of the Sonnenberg family. My husband's a medical doctor, a gynecologist, and at this very moment, he is fighting to save the life of someone who's busy bleeding. So could we pray together and stand in agreement? Father, we thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you are in that theater, that you, Lord, are stopping that blood from flowing, that you are partnering, Lord, Herkie is partnering with you, Father, that you put your hands in those gloves, God, and that you touch this precious lady's life and save it, my God. We thank you for every nurse, every doctor, every assistant that is around that table. We thank you for angelic presence, and we thank you, Jehovah Rapha, the healer of this woman. We thank you that, God, you're a man of war. And what Satan intended for evil, you turn for good, God. And in Jesus' name, we as the family of God stand in agreement. And you said the prayer of the righteous availeth much. So we know that you have heard this prayer. And we give you glory in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I love this. The body of Christ. I just want to bring honor to a few people today in the audience. Because I'm not on my own here. I'm part of a stop team. And we're, as you saw yesterday, they are a strong group of women. And strong in the Lord. The most profound thing about our team is that they love the Lord Jesus Christ passionately. They are women of prayer. They are women of secret place intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they can hear from God to do the work they do and are comforted by him. But there's also another team. I would like the stop team to stand up all over, please. And I want you to give them a great hand. Now say, go for it, girls. There we go. Then there's another team that is also attending, and they are called Olive Grove. And they are doing exactly this work in the Cape Flats, Yvette, Grassy Park, and Die Plekke. They are amazing, vigilant soldiers for the living Lord Jesus Christ, working in difficult conditions, leading children out of bondage into the light, working with abstinence, working with human trafficking, working with body safety, working with many things. And Olivia and her olive grove, please stand up. We want to honor you today. All of you. Woohoo! Then there's someone else in the audience today, which I really want to bring honor to, because, you know, the body of Christ needs to know who the generals are in the heavenlies and on earth in God's army. And Straatwerk is an organization that was started in 1964. Do you know about Straatwerk? It is an organization working with the ladies on the streets, and have been working and doing the most amazing rescue work, rehabilitation and restoration and integration with ladies and gentlemen and many other people. And they are an amazing team. I want to bring honor to Madri. I want her to stand up, please. Waar is jy, my beloved? Have you got a team with you? Please stand. All the loved ones working with Straatwerk. There we go. Woo! Woo! I have to be very honest with you. Madri is my mentor. She's the one who wipes my tears over Skype and even physically when I feel I can't go on at times, because they are skilled people working with the treasures on the streets, and I've got lots to learn from them. We're also using their materials. I bring honor to you, my friend. Thank you for your love. Great. There we go. Thank you. I remember years ago when Tessa was small, she once was sitting with me early in the morning. And she looked at me, you know, early in the morning. You've had to like, oh, early in the morning, ne? So she's sitting with me early in the morning. She says to me, Mommy, my friends can't believe how beautiful you are. I said, Tessa, when do they see me? No, when you bring me sandwiches to school or when you come to that. Friends say, you are so beautiful. And I said, oh, that's wonderful, Tess. She says, but you know, they don't know what you really look like. So I want you to look at each other and say, you look stunning today, please, because all of you are looking great. Look at each other and say, you are beautiful. You are stunning. There we go. This morning, I really felt in my heart as I was driving here, I was feeling in my heart, I just felt that I was saying to God, the Lord, I really want to encourage you this morning. That's what's in my heart. So in the story I'm going to be telling, the Lord, an interesting thing happened 2 weeks ago. And you know, sometimes an incident triggers a word from God. So that's what's really in my heart, and that is to really encourage you this morning. We have a drop-in center in the CBD area of Tzaneen, it's a little room where we go and fetch the girls on the streets. We bring them in, give them coffee and peanut butter sandwiches. We minister to their hearts. We pray with them. We love upon them. We try and meet their immediate need, whatever it is. And then we encourage them to come to our skills development sessions we have in the mornings to help them find a different trade and to have dignified work to care for their children. And one of our main aims, obviously, is to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring them into the family of God. Then they can stand on their own feet. So 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, we were out on the streets busy bringing in some girls. We do the curb crawling. And two ladies were sitting in the little housey, and they were praying for us, and they were making the sandwiches. We have a security fence around this place. Lekkerhoog, and not Lemmikiestraat, you know, just a nice spiky fence. And we leave the door open because who knows how hot it is in Tzaneen. So we leave the little, you know, the door open. Yeah. And and off we went. And as we came back with our beautiful team, which picked up in the cars, I saw a black man without a shirt on standing inside the security gate at the door. And I thought to myself, my machtig, how can the girls open the gate to this man? And the next moment, he rushed in, grabbed our bags, vaulted like a pole vaulter. You know, it looked like he was taking part in the Olympics. And off he went with all our stuff. And, you know, obviously the police came, and these two beautiful girls from the streets helped us get the police because they know the beat and they know the thing. But anyway, in the whole story, you know, God just took me to 1 Thessalonians 5, which is one of my most favorite script portions, which I just want to browse through with you today. And the first thing, you know, that obviously I repented immediately. I said, Lord, I'm sorry I left that door open. I put two elderly women in a very vulnerable position. You know, it was like I just felt I'd become a bit casual. You know, sometimes just a bit casual, as though you think we've got a great ministry going, we've got a great team here, we're fearless, we, you know. And I think that's a little bit of arrogance that came into my heart. And I was just cut level with the gravel to think what could have happened to these beloved ones that were in our team, that I put in a position leaving that inside door open. And it was such a moment of a humbling moment in my life. And I just said, God, speak to me. I need to be ministered to. I need you to tell me what is going on. And the Lord just led me to 1 Corinthians 5. So we can go on to the next slide. And it says here, but you, beloved brothers and sisters, are not living in the dark, allowing the day to creep up on you like a thief coming to steal. For you are all children of the light and children of the day. We don't belong to the night nor to the darkness. This is why we must not fall asleep as the rest do, but keep wide awake and clear-headed. This is the Passion Translation. For those who are asleep sleep at night, and drunkards get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, we must stay alert and clear-headed by placing the breastplate of faith and love over our hearts, and a helmet of hope of salvation over our thoughts, for God has not destined us to experience wrath, but to possess salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. So immediately God said to me, Corin, the disciples were asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was in his final hour. They missed the plot. They missed the moment. They missed their moment of destiny. They understood nothing of what was happening there. And they ran away, but they van hulle was gulkat. And this was just so awakened. God just said to me, Corin, do you realize that we're in a war on earth? Satan has been cast down to earth, but he is so angry because he knows his time is short. And the Lord said to me, Corin, you're standing at the pit of hell and redirecting traffic. How can you not think that he will be angry with you and try his tricks? Don't be asleep. Be vigilant. Be awake. Moenie aan die slaap wees wanneer jy moet wakker wees nie. So that's probably what is in my heart as a theme this morning, for you to realize that there's never a moment where you can let your hair down and be off guard. Awake and alert to the Lord. Someone just said the other day, Satan is defeated and he is unarmed, which is a beautiful way of looking at the snake, nee? But he has a lekker mond, and his name is the accuser. And and it says, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who relentlessly accuse them day and night before our God has now been defeated. And that story about the devil that's angry in Revelations 12, verse 10 to 12, and he's been cast down to earth and he's not happy. And you know, the devil is the accuser. I felt so ashamed, you know, of what had happened that night. It was like, oh God, I could have done what, you know. And God just said to me, Corin, I'm dealing with you here in conviction, not in condemnation. What happened is over, it's forgiven, it's redeemed. That's what the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ is for. You will never leave that door open again. You will never leave that door open again. And, you know, and I just realized again how I just fell on my knees and just repented to God, becoming casual with the ministry and with my life and thinking I can do it, you know. It was really quite a wake-up call. You know, in Revelation 19 is that beautiful picture of Jesus on the white horse, you know. He has fire in his eyes, you know that song, and a sword in his hand, that old song. And he's riding a white horse right through the land, and he's calling out to you and me, will you ride with me? But you know those armies were on horses. You can't slap leopard, nie. You've got to be strong and awake and you've got to trot and gallop and hold those reins, hey. And God just said to me, we are part of his army. We are part of his army. We've each got our own horse, and our name is branded on it. And God says to us, will you ride with me? Because we have a world that needs to be redeemed. That's what we were talking about all morning here while we were singing and praying. There's a world out there. Dankie vir daai pragtige woord wat jy gebring het. Because this is what it is. We are lifesavers. We are part of God's army. And until he comes to fetch or comes on the clouds, we cannot rest. We are awake and vigilant for God. And I just want to share something with you. Going back to the previous slide, it says, since we belong to the day, we must stay alert and clear-hearted by placing the breastplate of faith and love on our hearts and the helmet of hope of salvation. A very interesting thing happened to me a few years ago, and I really want to encourage you in this, and I want to bless this church. I was sitting in church, and I was daydreaming, and then I had a vision. I wasn't more listening to what the pastor was saying. I had a vision. I had this daydream vision. And I saw all of you in the workplace. You know, if I can say, my husband in his surgery, seeing the ladies and ministering to them, not only healing, but also word and encouragement and praying with them. I saw some of them who were school teachers working in the class situation, but praying with little children and encouraging the secretary at the school, putting plasters on, but also cuddling a child and comforting. And in the workplace, all of your workplaces, if I could say, you are living the kingdom and working the kingdom marketplace ministry. And then I saw this tired, worn out soldier, you know, sleepfoot, met sy swaard, I don't know if you get the picture, you know, coming into the church on Sunday and just sitting down, wah. And as the worship starts happening, you know, he starts polishing his breastplate of righteousness and getting his shoes going again and strapping up his shoes. And as the word is preached, his helmet of salvation and the mind of Christ gets put back on. And the sword, I slaps, I swart. And then, you know, the sores on the knees, you know, it's other people in the church came and put plasters on there, you know. And he rushed out of the church, only to come back the next Sunday. And I always say to people, if your church doesn't do that for you, you're in the wrong place. And I just want to bless this church, because I know this is the right place, and that this church is doing this for you. So coming to church and being part of the body of Christ, being part of a church family, is actually, dis noodsaaklik. What's that word in English? Essential to your filling up and your being equipped for your kingdom operations in the workplace. Isn't that a beautiful picture? So I trust that today you are already polishing your helmets and getting your love and your breastplate and your righteousness and your justification and all the beautiful things that Christ brought to today that's been given back to you. The position from which we fight is a very interesting position. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. He gave his life for us so that we may share in resurrection life in union with him. We are seated with him, with Christ, in heavenly places. Whether we're awake or asleep on earth or in heaven, I think they were talking about death there. Because of this, encourage the hearts of your fellow believers, affirmation, sought support one another just as you have already been doing. And this is what God is saying to you as a church today. You are already supporting each other. You are already taking care of each other. Continue doing it. Just continue doing it. God says, yes, it's cool. Look after each other. Take care of each other and support each other. And then, you know, I was just thinking of that beautiful scripture that says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Do you remember that old song that says, we are seated with Christ, Jesus is Lord. Do you know that song? No, you're too young. But it's one of my favorite songs. It says, Jesus is Lord, Jesus King. You and I are seated with him in heavenly places. Huh? Who like it is that? And from there, we operate. And we've got a bird's eye view of what's going on. And we have love and understanding. You know, I always used to think of that scripture, speaking the truth in love. You know, it was like when you reprimand somebody, you praat nou bietjie die waarheid in liefde hierso. But you know, I've learned in these last years in my life that speaking the truth in love means telling who you really are in Christ. That's the truth about who you are. Because the devil comes and lies to us and puts condemnation and shame on us. And God says, speak the truth in love towards each other. Build each other up in love. And that scripture that says here in 2 Corinthians 18 says, I have received authority to build you up, not to break you down. That's all authority I have in you, is to affirm you into who you are in Christ. How does that sound? Nou hoef ek nie meer te raas en te blaas en te accuse en te dreig nie. Isn't it cool? I can build you up. You know, you convicted enough about what you've done wrong, huh? Because that conviction is there when we know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's there. We know we've done wrong. What we need is to someone to take our hand and say, let me walk you through the shadow, this valley of the shadow of death, and show you who you really are. And that's the new thing in my heart. I just love it to be able to speak the truth in love into people's lives. Oh, it's so cool for me. Right. That next scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13 says, dear brothers and sisters, make sure that you show deep appreciation for those who cherish you and diligently work as ministers among you, for they are your leaders who care for you, teach you, and stand before the Lord on your behalf. They value you with great love because of their service to you. Let peace reign among yourselves. How does that sound? That sounds we need to protect these generals here that God has put in our midst, eh? We need to support them. We need to love them. We need to affirm them. You know, in the armies, the generals were always protected, weren't they? They were always kept in the camp as long as they could be kept. And when they had to go out on battlefield, they were surrounded by vigilant army guys. So I just want to ask Heinrich and Nikki and Christelle to come forward. And I just want to pronounce a blessing upon them and to pray for them. For these generals in this army, and we will be praying for Anton and say obviousigheid. Yes, Father, just hug each other. Let me just hug you here. Yeah. Yes, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this leadership that you've brought into this church, Father. Servant leaders, sons and daughters of the Most High God, Lord. Father, they've gone through the fire, but they haven't been burnt. They've gone through the rivers, but they haven't drowned because they are precious in your eyes. And God, you have raised them up for a season and a time like this. Father, I thank you for these amazing sons and daughters, God, in your house. But Lord, you're saying to them that I don't call you sons and daughters anymore. I call you friends because you hear my voice and you are listening to me. Father, thank you for the prophetic word that goes from this family in God. Thank you that you've sharpened this prophetic word like a two-edged sword, Father. Thank you, Lord, when there's discernment, dissection that has to take place. It happens fast and furiously, and then the healing process happens beautifully and magnificently, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, that their marriages are strong, God. I thank you that their children are sons and daughters around their tables in your house, growing up with respect and honor for their mommies and daddies, becoming champions and sons and daughters in your house. Father, I bless these as families. I bless their marriages, Lord. I thank you, Father, that they're an example to the rest of these young couples, God, how to weather storms, how to have conflict and contact, and how to restore and redeem, and how to be open and broken and honest about where we come from and where we're going. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you release upon this church, Lord, financial provision out of your storehouse in heaven, Lord, that they can care for the widow, the orphan, and the stranger. I pray, Lord, that you give them new vision and strategy, Father, as they move forward. And ikomiso, I pray for unity with the other churches and for amazing family body unity in the body of Christ here, Father, and that you will use Heinrich mightily, Lord, to bring, you know, like peace treaties among the denominations. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I just feel that God has raised you up, Heinrich, for a season and a time like this. God, I thank you that this church is surrounding and protecting these families, covering them, standing in for them, defending them. And Lord, and holding their hands up high when they're as the arms slap fall, like with Moses and Aaron and Hur, Lord, that they hold up their arms, that the battles that they have to be fought, Lord, that they can be strong and vigilant and win and finish strong. We bless them, Lord, with time out, with family time, with amazing family intimacy, with great, glorious holidays, Lord, and times to build themselves up in their most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We bless them, and we thank you, God, for such godly leaders. In Jesus' name, and even in Anton in his absence, God, we bless this man, the father of many, with Christelle and the heart that she has for people and the amazing woman she is next to Nikki. In Jesus' name, amen. Yay! Wat 'n voorreg. Yeah. Right. Next slide is help the weak. And we've been talking about that this morning also. In 1 Thessalonians 5:14, it says, we appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not in their place of battle. Isn't that beautifully said in the Passion Translation? You know, when we are not in the place of battle where we must be, you know, what happened to David, King David? What a tragedy, hey? Because he was not in the place of battle where he should have been at that time. Be skilled at gently encouraging those who feel themselves inadequate. How often I feel inadequate. And how often I need a word of encouragement from somebody who loves me. Eh? Be faithful to stand your ground. Stick to the rules, but love and affirm the process. You know, when you have teenage children or three-year-old children, sometimes teenagers who behave like three-year-olds. Hulle toets jou boundaries weer. And to love them through the discipline, unconditionally, but not budge on the rules. That's quite hard, eh? So this is what I feel the Lord is saying to us here. Help the weak and stand your ground. Be quick to demonstrate patience with everybody. We have these Vileli girls. We call them the Vileli girls. They are they test and push every button. Madri will be able to tell you and her team. Hulle druk elke knoppie, kan ek vir julle sê. And you know what? God has taught us, and He has surprised us. He has surprised us with the love that we have in us. You know, that you're so surprised the way you react because you cannot believe you wanted to clap them now, you know? And then you're so nice. You're so loving. And you just hug them because Jesus' battle strategy is different from mine. Ek wil klap ideal en sê, my magtig kom reg. What Sam was talking about yesterday. And you know what? Jesus just hugs because they're in any case convicted and ashamed about what they do. And I remember we were going to baptize them. They were preparing and being groomed to be baptized. So we're sitting there in our little groupie, and Julia and Peace, whose name was Percy, but because she was such a fighter, we baptized her Peace. So now she's Peace. And Peace was angry with Julia because of a strand of hikkelgaring or something, you know, that she didn't give her and so on and so on and so on. And, you know, you sit there and you think, are these girls going to jump up and kill each other now, you know? And we're going to baptize them this afternoon. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh, God, how are we going to deal with this? And so my prayer partner and the most amazing woman, Marianne, just winks at me. She says, just sit back here. And so they're going, ba, 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 ba. And God just gives me a sudden bright moment. He says to me, tell them, wacht bietjie, vertel elkeen nou vir ons, why are you going to be baptized? Why do you want to be baptized this afternoon? So everybody quiets down and they start, Julia says this and this and this. And when we get to Peace, now everybody's worked up. When we get to Peace, in her language, to this day, I don't know what she said. She started speaking, and as she started speaking, the Holy Spirit, you know, like in Acts 2, fell upon us, tongues of fire, chaotic grace, just fell upon us, and they started jumping up and prophesying and crying to God, and God just redeemed the whole situation without me even doing nothing. Isn't it beautiful? And Peace was the instigator. I don't know what this girl said, but God did it because she was affirmed and loved and accepted in spite of her behavior. So that was beautiful. And recently, you know, like the Amalekites in the desert, the poor and the weak and the lame wat agter mekaar so gesleep het in die desert. The Amalekites who used to grab them. Am I right, Meinig? I think it's so. And the Amalekites were so hated by the Father God that he said they must be eradicated from the face of the earth because of the widow, the orphan, and the stranger, and the weak in the Israelita that they were grabbing. They were grabbing the weak, and the enemy wants to grab the weak in our midst. He's always nyarraying and grabbing them. And then they manifest in funny behavior, depression, not feeling good. Oh, I'm sorry. And you just want to avoid them, hey? But God says those are the ones you have to love. Mobilize them. Bring them in as part of your team. Get them doing something that brings value to their lives. And you'll see the change in them. And someone once said a beautiful thing. They said, you know, when you have a colleague at work that's giving you all hell, or a boss, write out a prophetic word over their life in the presence of the Lord in your secret place. And start proclaiming that word over that person. How does that sound? You start affirming them in the heavenlies, what they are going to be, who they really are. And you start seeing them in your heart as Christ sees them. And you know what? Your heart changes. Your attitude changes. Your judgment changes. And what happens is that guy comes to you one day and says, dude, I'm not in a good place. My marriage is falling apart. And you say, come, let's go and have a beer. Let's talk a bit. Kos gaan sit lekker in die pub. Do you understand how gloriously brilliant the different battle plan that God has, strategy than ours and mine? So I want to encourage you, if you've got someone in your life that's not doing what for you, your grace grower is, start writing out a prophetic word over their lives. A parent, a brother, a sister, someone in your inner circle that's giving you all hell. Write a life-giving scripture and a prophecy over them in your inner room, and God, you will see how God is going to bring forth that thing. Speak the truth in love, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I talked about that. People need to get their breastplates and their helmets on and their swords going and their knees comforted. And so give someone back their identity in Christ. That's the biggest battle fight and the battle plan you have. You know, it's a very difficult thing when you're married to a difficult man or a difficult lady. That's the worst, eh? Because it's right here. You see, binnenkant. So I just want to say to you, it's possible. Affirm your husband and wife into who they are in Christ. And serve them with all the love that you have in your heart. And you will see the change. Don't respond to a fight that they're trying to pick. Keep quiet and love the hell out of them, okay? Here we go. Right, back to our, Heinrich, just tell me when I'm talking too much, eh? And wanneer ek moet ophou, because I'll go on till tomorrow morning. So please forgive me, I'm just so enjoying this, you know. Okay, the robbery, something which is, I found, which is so precious, and it says it in verse 15. Resist revenge, vindication, recompense, revenge. It says resist revenge and make sure that no one pays back evil in place of evil, but always pursue doing what is beautiful to one another and to all the unbelievers. Now, man, we're sitting with a robber here that robbed my bag, hey? And robbed two old ladies' bags, all our ID documents, our driver's licenses. We were doing the work of the Lord, His way to His glory, as we hoped we were doing. And the Lord says in Deuteronomy 32:35, He says, vengeance is mine and recompense. Romans 12:19, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And you know, I just realized that you know, no person is your enemy. There's only one enemy, and it's the devil, and it's him. And that one guy you can hate with the revenge, eh? But it's no one else. And you know, I went and sat, and the Lord just said to me, Corin, now I want you to call forth a recompense from this theft in Jesus' name, this violation against our private space and our ministry in our drop-in center. And the Lord said to me, call forth a recompense. And I said, God, I call forth a recompense hundredfold here. I call forth vindication and revenge upon the enemy, Lord, from your side. Hanteer my regsaak en ons regsaak hundredfold, Here. And you know, the most amazing thing happened. Someone arrived the next morning and immediately put lemmikies draad all all around our drop-in center. Lekker groot rolle, remmetjies raad. And when I asked him what it costs, he says, it's from the Lord, it's a blessing. That was the first recompense. The second was that 3 days afterwards, our goods were retrieved. Driver's license, everything, just dumped it there in someone's backyard. We'd stopped all our cards, you know what you do immediately, but we got everything back, driver's license, ID documents, purses, you know, the things that are precious to you. Even my perfume was thrown out there, which I love, which my husband buys for me. Yeah, this is how specific and how precious the Lord was. Everything was returned and everything was restored to us. So that was the second recompense. And the third thing that happened was, it's amazing. We opened a case and a docket. We got the police there. This man has been, he's been running a terreurveldtog, you know, in the area. It's old people living there in pioniershuisies, but poor old people, municipal old age homes, you know, those type, where people live and they never put security fencing up there and the people are vulnerable. And this guy, for months and a year now, has been stealing their cell phones, knocking them over, grabbing them, bumping them, and everybody is so intimidated and fearful. And so what happened was, this was the last theft this guy had, because we stood up and we said, no, we have to make a case. You have to make a case. You have to make a case for, even for insurance and all that stuff, you know. And the detectives arrived just before I left for here. And they sat there with us. And they said, I got people who knew what his face looked like, who knew his name. They were sitting around the table. So I just want to say to you, 50 elderly people have been rescued and redeemed from the enemy's attacks and from the rear. Do you understand God's recompense? He's not been caught yet. I hope next week he'll be caught. We're very excited about that. But you know, this is what God does for your losses too. I just want to bring it back to you and say, rejoice in the Lord, because for what was stolen from you, whether it was a life, whether it was an unfair job situation, whether it was whatever it is, God says, I want to give you a recompense. I want to reward you for what was done to you, because I take revenge on the enemy and I give for him a helse bakslag of a hemelse bakslag. So just remember, this is how God operates. Nee, but revenge is not mine to take. Never, ever, ever. Right. I'm coming down for a landing, beloved. Verse 16 says, let joy be your constant feast, continual feast. Make your life a prayer. Be joyful in your house of prayer. And in the midst of everything, be always be giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you and me in Christ. God's plan for you and me in Christ. Thank you for that, Nicole. God's plan for you and me in Christ is to be joyful, is to be prayerful, and is to be thankful. That's our inheritance. And that is something we need to practice in our lives, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that we pray in every circumstance, over the phone, in every circumstance. Madri came to me this morning, and she just gave me a hug and put a mouth to my ear and prayed for me. It was so profound what she prayed. You understand how blessed is your presence, your prayer, your encouragement over the phone in any situation. My husband is into the good habit that no matter where we care, who we visit, but where the circumstances is, when we leave, he says, let's take hands and pray. And then God starts releasing prophetic word, encouragement, blessing, and people just get built up. So do be that way and be joyful in your house of prayer. Romans 12:12, pray constantly. Philippians 4, we know very well. Give thanks in advance. Selfs al dit het nog nie gebeur nie, say thank you to the Lord, it's going to happen. And this is the heart that God wants us to have. Two powerful weapons to stand your ground in battle is honoring the Holy Spirit and honoring prophecy in your life. It says, never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit, and don't be one who scorns prophecies, but be faithful to examine them by putting them to test, and afterwards hold tightly to what has proven to be right. Read and recall prophecies over your life. Hear a book of remembrance, you know, like in Malachi 3. It says God wrote, had a book of remembrance. Write a book of remembrance. All the prophecies over your life, have them. And when the times are hard, read them, recall them, recite them, and bring them back into your heart. And that is such a profound weapon against the enemy. Let the Holy Spirit have its way. You know, Peter and Cornelius' story is such a beautiful story for me because Peter was this profound Jew. You know, I eat ni poikies ni and I eat ni goikies ni. And when this duk came down from heaven and God said, I've made this, sanctified this, and I've made it holy, you can my eat it. And as he ate it, there was a Cornelius, a devout man of God who knew the Lord, was praying there. And Cornelius called him in the spirit and he went. And Cornelius was a man of God. He loved the Lord, but he didn't know about two things. He didn't know about baptism in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he didn't know about baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say to you people that baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Spirit is one of the most profound weapons against the enemy, but I'll talk about it now. And then it says here, avoid every appearance of evil. And you know what's just important is we need to deal with stuff in our lives. If God puts his finger on something in your life that's not cool, doesn't matter what you're reading. And I always say nobody knows what's in the pages of the books that you're reading. So you monitor yourself and say to God, whatever I am doing right now in my life that's not cool and not giving you glory, that's bringing conviction in my life, stop it. Stop it. That's what the Bible says. Avoid every appearance of evil. And conviction comes from the Spirit. One of the reasons why we work very hard at baptizing the girls after they've been born again as soon as we can and praying for them for baptism in the Holy Spirit is without that, it's very difficult to stand up against the enemy. Because when you have a burial, you come out of that burial and you can say to Satan, if you remind me of my past, I remind you of your future. So I just want to encourage everyone sitting here today, if you haven't been baptized in water and you've been considering it and praying about it, come and see Heinrich and Nikki and we'll all celebrate it. The church will celebrate your burial. It's like a begrafness. And the second thing is, and we can even pray for you for today for this, if you've been had a desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to speak in a heavenly language, the Bible says, build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. It is a gift. It's a prayer language. It's not something different. It's not the prayer in the church that someone has to interpret. Am I right? It's your personal prayer language. It's private. It's unique to you. We can pray for you for that, and God will release it upon you. So that was what I wanted to say and end with. So our girls have been baptized and in water, and they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we've learned that conflict is contact. And we have great fun, but there's beautiful repentance and brokenness and growing. The last thing I want to say to you today, and that is that rest is a weapon. And it says here, now may the God of peace and harmony set you apart, making you completely holy, and may you, your entire being, spirit, soul, and body be kept completely flawless at the appearing of Christ. We know that scripture very well. Your spirit and your soul and your body cannot be renewed and restored unless you get set apart and have secret time under the shadow of his wing in the private place with God daily. Run to the Lord. Find yourself a beautiful spot in your home, or in your flat, or on your stoop, or in your car, and meet with Jesus there daily. That is your strength, and that's where he says, set you apart. God wants to set us apart, because he wants to restore our spirit, our soul, and our body daily in his presence, to strengthen us and empower us for the good work in his kingdom. I just want to read Proverbs 1. In passion, it's so beautiful. It says here, here are kingdom revelations, words to live by, and words of wisdom given to empower you to reign in life. Those who cling to these words will receive discipline to demonstrate wisdom in every relationship. Choose what is right, just, and fair. Who wants to live like that? Wie so wees, ek verseker. And Proverbs does this for us as you read the word. Some people often dream about being a missionary one day, far and furiously. God says, bloom where you're planted. Verse 24, the one who calls you by name is trustworthy and will thoroughly complete his good work in you. Everyone sitting in this church has a mission field right now where you are. Whether it's your domestic worker that's working in your house, if you're a home mom, or the garden man who comes once a week to do your garden, or your children, or your grandchildren, or your friendship group, or your Bible study group, or your workplace, you have a mission field right here next to us. I remember standing on the grass in the midst of the bush where Harky and I have been living for 6 years. I said, God, what am I going to do here? I'm standing here in the middle of the bush. I'm isolated. And I heard music. And I walked down the lane, and there was a compound just at the bottom of the lane. A compound, people. The workers doing the kiwi fruit and tending the horses on the farms. About 20, 30 people. And out of that group, many have been born again. My husband started a ministry among them. Rufus and Lucy, our garden man and his wife, got born again. She still can't speak the language. They were married on our grass a month ago, people. Do you understand how beautiful it is? We baptized them somewhere in a butt there in front of everybody. They're in the Word. They love Jesus. They had a white wedding. Daar's 'n ring aan die vinger, mense. Isn't it amazing what God can do? So I want to encourage you and bless you as a church today. And as Heinrich comes forward and takes over from me, I just want to say that prayer and prophesy over each other. And you know, something I've learned is beautiful. The body is corporately. You have within you a word for someone here today. So Heinrich is going to take over from me. But go to someone who's strange here today that you don't know and go and pray over them a blessing some or other time in the wake of our altar call. And if there's someone who needs to, feels they really need to be born again, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, please come and come forward and just come and say, it's my day. Ek wil die Here aanneem. Ek soek hom met my hele hart. I need Jesus. And this is a wonderful opportunity for you to do. But I'm just going to give over to Heinrich, and I want to bless you as a church and thank God for the amazing opportunity that I've had to be here. Should I say a prayer? Okay. Would you like to stand, please? I just would like to pray for you all. Thank you, Lord, that you're hovering over this church right now, God. Thank you that your Spirit is here, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Thank you for the myriads of angels that are in our midst, God, flying all over and blessing us. You know, like this Cupid arrow. I just see these arrows shooting, not Cupid arrows, but Jesus arrows, just shooting into our hearts, God. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought conviction this morning into our hearts around certain issues in our lives. But thank you that you've convicted us to be better. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us hope in the workplace, that you've given us a vision, that we are missionaries where we live and where we are, God, that you've given us an audience where we are, God. Father, thank you, Lord, that in this day, Lord, we are in a battle, we are in a war. We have the love of Jesus. We have a changed attitude that we are bringing to people. We are helping people to see themselves, Lord, like you see them. But thank you that we can stand in the mirror and see ourselves like you see us, forgiven, redeemed, just as if I'd never sinned, justified, washed in the blood of Jesus, holy, blameless, glorious, beautiful. This is who we are in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that we're going to walk out here strong and tall and encouraged, built up, ready for battle, with our helmet of salvation on, our breastplate of righteousness, shoes shod with the gospel of peace, belt of truth, shield of faith, and sword of the Spirit, God. Thank you that this church has built us up this morning, God. Lord Jesus, thank you that the red carpet was rolled out for you, and you ministered to us through 1 Thessalonians 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are armored, we are ready to roll and to run for our work in the kingdom of God. And Father, I bless this church, and I thank you for the honor and the privilege, Lord, of being able to minister these words to them this morning. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.